looking at over the last couple of Sabbaths, and what we will look at today as well. Just a brief summary. In our first message, we asked the question, what is real in the Christian life? Beyond profession, beyond appearance, and beyond what we say we believe. What is real? And we faced the uncomfortable reality that Christ must be real in the life. Just bear with me while I turn the recorder on. This is easy to forget when you haven't slept much. Okay. So yes, in our first message we did ask the question, what was real in our life, in the Christian journey, in the Christian experience? We had a good look at what was real. What was real beyond the profession, our so-called profession of Christianity? What is beyond the appearance and beyond what we say we believe? And we face the uncomfortable reality that Christ must be real in our life. Not a counterfeit Christianity. There must be power. A profession without the possession of Jesus Christ is counterfeit Christianity. Then in our second message we asked, how do we really know that it's not a counterfeit? How do we really know that we have Jesus Christ in all reality in the life? That we really are living a new life? If Christ is in us, there must be evidence. The life will reveal, whether for Christ or against Christ, what is actually lived out in our life. It will show evidence who we're dwelling with. But now comes the question that carries us deeper into this experience. That is, Christ is to live in me, whose will is going to govern my life? And most importantly, whose will does govern our life? The Christian life is not merely about what I believe or what I desire. Not merely that. It comes down to my very life. Who sits upon the throne of my life? The very place where our decisions are made. And so I've entitled this sermon, or this message, The Decision Maker. The Decision Maker. We've looked at the evidence of the life. We've looked at the fruit in the life. Now we must go to what God is needing to tell us, what got us there in the first place. The power of choice lies in the human will. The power of choice. And that brings us to this question, who is the decision maker in your life? That's the question we need to answer, and you all have that question before you by the Lord placed before us. That was a question that I had to address throughout the night season. Who is the decision maker in your life? Who is the decision maker in my life? 1 Kings 18, chapter 18, verse 21, we read of Elijah. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And what did the people say? Not a word. They said not a word. Testimony, Volume 3, page 280, reading from paragraph 2. Not one in that vast assembly dared uttered one word for God and show his loyalty to Jehovah. Not one. What astonishing deception and fearful blindness had, like a dark cloud, covered Israel. This blindness and this apostasy had not closed about them suddenly. We've addressed this in our past, little by little by little. Had not closed about them suddenly, it had come upon them gradually, as they had not heeded the word of reproof and warning, which the Lord had sent to them because of their pride of their sins. And now, in this fearful crisis, in the presence of the idolatrous priests and the apostate king, they remained neutral. Neutral. Or in other words, they remained lukewarm. That's my words. Very self-evident. They remained neutral. They remained lukewarm. The Laodicean condition is an astonishing deception and fearfully blinding, as it can't recognize its true condition. Testimony Volume 3 goes on. And it says, if God abhors one sin above another, of which his people are guilty, it is doing nothing in case of an emergency. Indifference and neutrality in a religious crisis is regarded of God as a grievous crime and equal to the very worst type of hostility toward God. Against God, sorry. These are really strong words, aren't they? You know, I had to really stop and really contemplate what is so horrendously, like, weighty with these words. What do they hold for me, or what do they hold for us? That indifference and neutrality in a religious crisis, or being lukewarm, is regarded as God as a grievous crime and equal to the very worst type of hostility against God. So strong, isn't it? Powerful words. Fearful words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 says why. Jesus says, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. This word scattereth is a working against God's gathering of his people, or God's gathering of his jewels. That he that scattereth is working against God, scattering abroad. And as Matthew, as this scripture is actually highlighting, Jesus highlighting a very important point here. It says, he that is not with me is against me. There's only two categories here. There's not a third one, is there? Either we're with, or the consequences of not being with the Lord is against the Lord. There's no in between. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19. We hear it this way. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Can we see the only two categories that are there? Either with Christ or against him. Life or death. Steps to Christ, page 47. Brings us to our thoughtful, prayerful hour at this present time. It says, Steps to Christ, page 47 says this, says everything, everything, think about that word, everything depends on the right action of the will. Everything. The power of choice God has given to men. But what is the right action of the will, we ask? Well, first we'll read what the will is. Testimony, volume 5, page 513. If we've been called to that everything depends on the right action of the will, we need to know what the will is. And we may consider we know, but when inspiration speaks it, it becomes very, very clear. Testimony, volume 5, page 513. It says, the will is the governing power in the nature of man, bringing all the other faculties under its sway. The will is not the taste or the inclination, but it is the deciding power which works in the children of men unto obedience to God or unto disobedience. It's the deciding power, the will. And this deciding power of the will has been so affected by sin, and this really is a point that I really needed to understand, because I know that there's, in our walk, in our relationship with God, we need to exercise these wills of ours, don't we? But this quote here in second manuscript, in Mind, Character, Personality, volume 2, page 685, this puts clarity on the consequence, or this thing that we call the will. This will that forms so important a factor in the character of man, does it not? The deciding power. This will was at the fall given unto the control of Satan. It was given to him. It was forfeited. And he has ever since been working in man to will and to do of his own pleasure. But to utter ruin and misery of man. That's Satan's will. Utter misery. Utter ruin. And at the fall, it was given to Satan himself. Apostle Paul cries that out, this cry that he made, for to will is present with me, is it not? The will is there, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You see the condition of mind that has affected his will to the extent that he realizes that his will is in a dire predicament. Continues in Medical Ministry, page 111, paragraph 2. It says, for thousands of years, Satan has been experimenting upon the properties of the human mind. And he has learnt to know it well. By his subtle workings in these last days, he is linking the human mind with his own mind, imbuing it with his thoughts, and he is doing this work in so deceptive a manner that those who accept his guidance know not that they are being led by him at his will. And we addressed this, didn't we, in our first sermon that we had about Judas. Judas thought he was a Christian, but didn't realize what true Christianity really meant. He was a counterfeit Christian, had not God's abiding presence in his heart and in his life. These people know not that they are being led by him at his will. You ever found yourself in that predicament? Or how about this? That they know not that they are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. You see how he's affected God's people today? How Satan has worked so mightily upon the human will and has been studying it for thousands of years. And he contains the ability to exercise it according to his will. But we know there is hope. There is hope. That there is hope that the choice, which what we have still been given, the choice is still ours. But how clear we must come to that choice. And what choice is that? To choose the lower for the higher, the earthly for the spiritual, the perishable for the eternal. We read it here again. Mind, Character and Personality, reading from, this is volume 2, page 693, paragraph 2. It is through the will that sin retains its hold upon us. The surrender of the will is represented as plucking out the eye or cutting off the hand. Often it seems to us to surrender the will to God is to consent to go through life maimed or crippled. You ever experienced that? The subjection of your will? To the human nature, it's horrendous. It goes on. God is the fountain of life, and we can have life only as we are in communion with him. If you cling to self, refusing to yield your will to God, you're choosing death. You're choosing death. It will require a sacrifice to give yourself to God, but it is a sacrifice, again as we express, of the lower for the higher, the earthly for the spiritual, the perishable for the eternal. God does not design that our will should be destroyed. For it is only through its exercise that we can accomplish what he would have us do. This will is important, isn't it? And so, yes, as we have a will, our will has become under the control from the fall of Satan. And so, during our scripture reading, we read the perfect example of Jesus Christ, who said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Our will is to be yielded to him that we may receive it again. Isn't that beautiful? We have this will, but we have been called to give this will to God. To give it to him. And then what does he do with it? Well, it says that we will receive it again, but it says that it will be purified and that it will be refined and so linked in sympathy with the divine that he, God, can pour through us the tides of his love and power. Don't you desire that? It comes through the subjection of our will. Gospel Workers, page 470, paragraph 2. It says, "There must be no chamber of the mind where Satan can hold sway and carry out his devices. Self must be crucified. Sacrifices must be made that will seem like taking the very lifeblood from the heart." You experienced that before? Jesus experienced it. And he said, "Are you able to drink the cup in which I'm baptized with?" Quick words came forth. "We are able." And Jesus said, "You will. You will." And he says that to us today, "You will." Like taking the very lifeblood from your heart. But I appreciate very much having the opportunity to express thoughts, scripture, spirit of prophecy that are thus saith the Lord. Because when man meddles with God's word, it becomes contaminated, doesn't it? That's why we need the Holy Spirit, and we can only have the Holy Spirit in the subjection of the will to God. There's no other way. Testimony, volume 5, page 515, paragraph 1. We read this. "You need to drink daily at the fountain of truth that you may understand the secret of pleasure and joy in the Lord." It's a daily experience. But you must remember. And when it says you must remember, there's something that we really need to consider here. You must remember. Remember what? That your will is the spring of all your actions. Your will. The spring of all your actions. And this will that forms so important a factor in the character of man was again at the fall given unto the control of Satan. And as we addressed, he has ever since been working in man to will and to do of his good pleasure, to utter ruin and misery. But the infinite sacrifice of God in giving Jesus, his beloved Son, to become a sacrifice for sin enabled him to say, without violating one principle of his government, "Yield yourself up to me Give me that will, he says. Give it to me. Take it from the control of Satan. Why does he say take it from the control of Satan? Because we have to choose in order for this to happen. We have to yield the will. Jesus says, give me that will. But we must choose that it would be taken from the control of Satan. And Jesus says, and I will take possession of it. Then, and only then, I can work in you to will and do of my good pleasure, the Lord says. When he gives you the mind of Christ, your will becomes as his will. And your character is transformed to be like Christ's character. See how important this will is to make right choice in your life? And I say choice. We think choices, yes, but choice, singular. If we but come to that singular choice and make that decision that, yes, Christ, I will give it, but I can't give it. Take it, Lord. Take it. I choose to give it, but I can't. So you take it. And look after it. And transform it into your character. Is it your purpose to do God's will? That's a broad question. In consequence of what we're just discussing, is it your purpose of life to do God's will? Because if we say yes, that's a big purpose, but it's a big consequence. Huge. Do you wish to obey the scriptures? Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There is no such thing as following Christ. There is no such thing as following Christ. Yes, we like to deceive ourselves and think that there's something else. But this point is very clear, that there is no such thing as following Christ unless you refuse to gratify inclination and determine to obey God. It is not your feelings, your emotions that make you a child of God, but it is the doing of God's will that makes you a child of God. A life of usefulness is before you if your will becomes God's will. Then you may stand in your God-given manhood, womanhood, childhood, an example of good works. You will then help to order instead of despising it and inciting to irregularity of life by your own course of action. That was your will. Inspiration says, I tell you in the fear of God, I know what you may be if your will is placed on the side of God. We are laborers together with God. You may be doing your work for time and eternity in such a manner that it will stand the test of the judgment. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And so Jesus says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what's his choice? Choose life. That's his choice. And we of our own cannot make that choice. choose Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Mount of Blessings, page 62, paragraph 1. The consequences of choosing death and choosing the cursing. Mount of Blessings, page 62, paragraph 1. If you cling to self, refusing to yield your will to God, again, you are choosing death. To sin, wherever found, God is a consuming fire. If you choose sin and refuse to separate from it, what are the consequences of it? The presence of God, which consumes sin, must consume you. It's pretty straight, isn't it? Apostle Paul, speaking to the Philippians, says, "Wherefore, my beloved, make a right choice." Philippians 2, verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." These consequences of what we've just been looking at, it brings a condition of the life. It is a fearful condition. And if you're not trembling, then I'd say that's a fearful condition as well. Why much more in my absence? Why is it that we're considering here? Think about that. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Jesus says this, John chapter 16, verse 7. "Not as in my presence only, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Philippians 2 verse 13. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why Jesus had to go and send help. We needed help. We were trapped. Our will had been captured by Satan himself at the consequences and the choice of sin. And so another decision must be made. Another choice comes before us. Choose life. Surely haven't we discovered what death really is? Yes, we're alive today, but think of the pain that you've had in life, whether it's physical pain, mental pain, spiritual pain. Think of all those traumatic experiences in your life. Doesn't feel very living, does it? We all have a sense of death. And if we understand what God's relationship is to me in my life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will understand what this death really is all about. It's not pleasant to the natural man. It means death to the natural man and alive to the new man. Signs of the Times, December 28, 1891, reading from paragraph 1. Jesus Christ says these words, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, if ye abide in me," these very words are to a purpose. to lead men to will and to do. They are an impelling power causing men to resolve and to act. But none are forced against their will. God's grace will not supply the place of man's cooperation. This is really, really important here. God's grace will not supply the place of man's cooperation. No amount of light, no amount of conviction, no amount of grace can transform the character. Only as man shall arouse to cooperate with God. The Holy Spirit puts forth its energies to break the power of Satan's attractions and temptations upon the human mind. But the will must yield. Human cooperation must be enlisted. For this is the indispensable condition of salvation. Indispensable condition of salvation. Our human cooperation must be enlisted. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it goes on, what? Must man do this work for himself unaided? God forbid. It doesn't say that. I'm just saying that. God forbid. No, no. This is his part of the action. Working it out. But hear the conclusion. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Your will must blend with the divine will, and you must, here it is, submit to the divine working. Submission. Your energies are required to cooperate with God. Without this, if it were possible to force upon you with an hundredfold greater intensity the influences of the Spirit of God, do you get that? A hundredfold? It would not make you a Christian, a fit subject for heaven. It's a powerful quote. If it were possible to force upon you with a hundredfold greater intensity the influences of the Spirit of God, it would not make you a Christian, a fit subject for heaven. The stronghold of Satan would not be broken. There must be the willing and the doing on the part of the receiver. There must be an action represented as coming out from the world and being separate. Action. Coming out from the world and being separate. There must be a doing of the words of Christ. The soul must be emptied of self that Christ may pour his Spirit into the vacuum. Christ must be chosen as the heavenly guest. The will must be placed on the side of God's will. Then there is a new heart. And then a new and holy resolve. It is Jesus enthroned in the soul that makes every action easy in his service. He is the fountain of all righteousness, the source of all happiness, the reservoir of all power. There must be a full trust in God's words, and Christ must be all in all to the receiver. Grace, truth, and joy will fill the soul. That's a beautiful consequence if we choose that. Again, Jesus came and expressed these very words. John chapter 6, reading from verse 38 to 40. And we read of his experience. In his humanity. Whose humanity? It was my humanity. And it was your humanity. And this is what he said. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, this is beautiful, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And Jesus says this, and I will raise him up at the last day. Why would you not want to be part of that will? Why would you not want to place your will in subjection to that will? Jesus came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. And how much it must be said of us. Not my will, but thine will be done. In the very words of Simon Peter, John chapter 13, verse 38, in these very words, what did he say? Maybe we will say the same thing. Maybe we have. Maybe we do. I will lay down my life for thy sake. I will. Jesus answered him and said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Maybe we have been denying Jesus Christ for long enough through their subjection or through the desire to have our own will and not have our own will in subjection to the one who can take care of it. Have you noticed in your life that your will has caused pain, that your will has caused sorrow, that your will has caused heartbreak, that your will has broken, that it just breaks things? Let us not keep denying Christ any longer. By yielding up your will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. All principalities and powers. If you ally yourself with the power that is above that, Jesus Christ, by yielding up your will, you will have strength from above to hold you steadfast. And thus, through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. Steps to Christ, page 48. This concluding thought. Choice. Decision. Choose to give Christ your will. Ask him to take it. It's destructive. And if you do that, the consequences of that will be he will give you his life. Why would you not choose that? I pray that is our choice. Amen.